Well, I know that you guys see the communion elements up here this morning, and I usually do that right after worship, but I ain't today. And I have a reason for that, because I want to preach about it first. I want to preach about it first. You ever had anybody make you a promise for something that was going to happen in the future? You ever had anybody make you a promise? From the hearing of the promise to the fulfillment of it, there remains in us the hope of the promise. Father God, this morning I need Your anointing to declare Your Word. God, I need Your anointing, Lord, to communicate this message, Lord, what I believe is from heaven this morning, God, that there is a promise that yet remains for us. And God, I need Your anointing to share this in a way that we could leave here having taken something of this Word home with us today, that, Lord, that this message, this Word, would get down inside of Your people and change them, that, God, that You would cause them to be the person You created them to be, and Lord, to be able to rest in the promise that You are in control, that You will make a way where there seems to be no way. Now, Father, I just thank You for each one here today. I thank You for everyone watching by way of the internet today. And I pray, God, that You'd bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I want to share for a few minutes about another promise that you and I have all been given. This promise was given by the Lord Himself. And in Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 26, reading through verse 29, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. He blessed it and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body.' Then He took the cup and He gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom.'" Lord, I pray You bless the reading of Your Word. See, Jesus is in the upper room. He is there with His disciples, and He is breaking bread with them. He is nearing the end of His 33 and a half year long life on earth, and is now preparing His disciples for that moment. The reality is, for the last 3.5 years, He's been doing His best to prepare them for the days that were lying ahead, for the events that were about to take place. He was trying to convince them and to communicate with them that, listen, I am going to die. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be killed. All these things are going to happen. They're going to bury Me in the ground. But don't fear. There's a promise that awaits you, that in 3 days, up from the grave He arose. Amen? See, He was preparing them. The whole world has watched Him do all kinds of miracles. They have seen Him heal blinded eyes. How many of you think that is fantastic? I think that is great. They've seen Him heal blinded eyes. They have seen Him raise the dead. How many of you think that's a pretty good miracle? Amen. And they've seen Him cause the lame to walk, and He has restored hearing to the deaf. I mean, if you go on a little bit further, we find out that they realize and they know, because they saw that He walked on water. They know that He even turned water into wine. That was His first miracle, by the way, His first public miracle. His first public miracle was merely to keep the party going. Amen? I'm telling you. He turned water into wine. He took a few loaves and some fish and turned them into a feast for thousands. That just barely scratches the surface of the things that He did. And now here we find Him sharing one last meal with those who walked with Him for those 3.5 brief years. So if we move the story on a little, we pick it up in verse 22, chapter 15 of Mark, and verse 22. And He says, and they brought Him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. They gave Him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, and He did not take it. And when they crucified Him, they divided His garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. And now it was the third hour, and they crucified Him. And the inscription of His accusation was written above, the King of the Jews. So here we are at the hill they call Golgotha. The place of the skull, they have Jesus on the cross. They have the inscription above His head that reads, King of the Jews. They're parting His garments and casting lots for them. Some are just standing by, awaiting the moment of His death. Others are standing by in wonderment, and still others are there feeling defeated and betrayed. You know who else was there? His mama. Do you hear anything from His mom at the cross? Not a word. If my mom had been there and it was me, my mama would have been throwing a little British fit. My mama would have been pitching a fit like none other. But Mary knew that her son was born for this day. And she is silent. Mark recorded the final scene of Jesus' earthly life with graphic imagery. The dark sky was pierced by an anguished cry of abandonment. Those watching were gripped with wonder. One person responded to Jesus' pain by offering a wine-soaked sponge. The mood may have been one of anticipation. What amazing thing would happen next? But the spectators were disappointed with a loud cry. Jesus died. Luke adds the detail of Jesus' final commitment of His Spirit into God's hands in Luke 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, He said, Father, into My hands I commit My Spirit. And having said this, He breathed His last. John recorded in John chapter 19 and verse 30, what was probably the final cry, it is finished. What's finished? The beating's finished? Being nailed to a cross is finished? My 33.5 years is finished? No, the redemption price for salvation was finished. It has been met. It has been paid in full. That's why I said everything that I said before I got started. Because your salvation has been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. And the devil will do everything he can to get you to shut up and sit down. And Jesus is saying, stand up and shout it out. That's what He's saying. He loves you. He died for you. The only thing that the devil has on you is what you let him have. He has no authority in your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, he has no authority in my life. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. He does not have authority over your life. You have been bought. Somebody can't come into my daggum garage and take something out of my garage and say, hey, I'm going to use this unless I tell them they can. Because that's mine. I bought it and I paid for it. I purchased it with my own resources. You've been bought and purchased with the resources of heaven. And the devil can't come in and just take you. I'm telling you, you are a child of God. Yet, in the midst of all the anguish, some of us, are in anguish right this moment, today. There's anguish. There's pain. There's this sense of defeat. How many of you have ever said this? I just can't do this anymore. I just can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Pat yourself on the back and say, yet here I am. You know why you're here? Because you can do it. You can. You can make it. Remember what God promised in His Word? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Devil, I can defeat you. I can win this battle. The battle, in fact, has already been won. And I can walk in the presence of God. And the presence of God says, you got to go. In the midst of all the anguish, there is the hope of the promise. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples at that moment back at the table? Remember what He said in Matthew 26 and verse 28? For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Listen, church, that's a promise. That's a promise, church. That's one of those you can take it to the bank kind of promises. You can write checks on it. See, as Jesus and the disciples were eating, Jesus takes the loaf of unleavened bread and He blessed it and He broke it. And by doing so, Jesus is associating His words with the cup representing, I will redeem you. The blessing of the bread refers to the Jewish practice of giving thanks for bread at a meal by saying, blessed are you, Lord our God, who brings forth bread from the earth. We need to consider, church, a gift from God. It was irreverent. It was irreverent to cut the bread with a knife. So it was torn or broken with the hands. They broke the bread. Jesus gave the bread to the disciples to eat, and as He did so, He gave this Passover practice an entirely new meaning. Just as the Passover celebrated the deliverance of slavery from slavery in Egypt, so the Lord's Supper celebrates deliverance from sin by Christ's death. Listen, I'm trying to get this into you today. I'm trying to help you understand that sin has no authority in your life as a child of God. That stuff that the devil's putting on you, trying to beat you down with, say, get out of my life. You've got no authority over me. I am a child of the Most High God. I mean, you might have to do it time after time after time. If you think I just gave my life to Jesus and said, forgive me of my sin, and everything's been great from there on out, you are sadly mistaken. I'm a log truck driver. Hello. I see things on the highway that are crazy. I mean, I've experienced road rage. Glory to Jesus. Most of it on Rock Creek. Just saying. Listen. Where am I at? Oh, I'm in the middle. Yeah. Passover. Here's the thing. Too often, church, we're like the children of Israel. What'd they say? What? What'd you say? Go back. To where? To what? Bondage. Let's just go back to bondage. And the devil comes and says, hey, why don't you just go back? There's plenty to eat there. I mean, there's vegetables and leeks and on and on and on. We got stuck out here in the wilderness and we're eating manna every stinking day. You know what manna stands for? What is it? Manna stands for what is it? What is it? I don't know what it is, but it sustains me. I've had it deep fried, baked, jerkied. That ground manna. Let me tell you something, church. Passover celebrated the deliverance from slavery in Egypt, and the Lord's Supper, what we're about to celebrate today, celebrates our deliverance from sin by the death of Jesus Christ. Church, we as His people have to stand up and say, I am done. The devil's going to come and he's going to present all kinds of stuff to you. I promise you. I promise you. And we've got to stand up and say, hey, I'm a child of God. Devil, you can't put that on me. But what do I do if I buy into it? You go back to Jesus and you don't go back to Egypt. You go back to Jesus and say, I blew it again. The Lord's Supper is also called communion. It's called the Lord's table. It's called the breaking of bread. Or it's called the Eucharist. Each name we use for this sacrament brings out a different dimension to it. It's the Lord's Supper because it commemorates the Passover meal that Jesus ate with His disciples. That's why we call it the Lord's Supper. It's also called the Eucharist. It's called the Eucharist because it is in it we thank God for Christ's work for us. He died for you and I. We call it communion because through it we commune with God and with other believers. You know how I know that? Because He said right in His Word, and I'll read it to you in just a little bit. He says, when you do these things, do them in remembrance of me. In remembrance of what I've done. Listen, if you've got mess in your life, which probably none of us do. If we got mess in our life, let me tell you what you need to do. When we have communion this morning, you need to say, God, forgive me for all of my sins. God, forgive me. And then you say, God, with this communion, I'm putting the broken bread, I'm putting the shed blood of Jesus between that mess in my life and you. And devil, you have no authority to cross that line. Come on now. In a traditional Passover meal, wine is served four times. Wine is served four times. Most likely, the cup mentioned in this verse was the third cup. Verse 28 refers to the fourth cup that Jesus did not drink, vowing first to complete His mission before drinking of the wine again. And He gave thanks, He gave it to them, and He said, drink from it, all of you. Listen, the Greek word translated after giving thanks is Eucharisto, and it's from which the word we get our English term Eucharist. As with the bread, Jesus spoke words in figurative language. You have to understand, He speaks in figurative language a lot. This is my blood. This wine is what He's saying is, this wine represents my blood. When we drink the juice, it doesn't become Jesus' blood when we drink it. When we eat the piece of bread, it doesn't become Jesus' body when we partake of it. They are representations of what we are looking at. It couldn't have been His literal blood because He's still sitting there with them as He spoke. His blood was flowing through His veins. Couldn't have been His blood. Jesus' blood shed on behalf of many began a new covenant between God and His people. The many are those who will become part of the covenant that His death created. Listen to what it says in the Old Testament. I want to tie this together. Sometimes we feel like we do away with the Old Testament and just live off of the New Testament. Well, the Old Testament has stuff to say to us too. This is what it says in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 11 and 12. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. And by His knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Hallelujah, Jesus. Listen, church, these verses tell of the enormous family of believers who will become right with God, not by our own works, but by the Messiah's great work on the cross. You can't add anything to it. We're justified because we have claimed Christ, the righteous servant, as our Savior and our Lord. Tammy claimed me as her husband. Now, that don't mean there hadn't been times she hadn't wanted to kill me. Who said that? Because she did have a stump. And she used to spend a lot of time on that stump, and I was the topic. And I'll tell you something else. I'm probably standing in this pulpit today because she sat on a stump. Your life of sin has been stripped away. I don't know who's listening to this morning, but I want you to hear it. Your life of sin is stripped away. And you are clothed with Christ's goodness. When the prodigal son took everything that was his and run off and spoiled it all, spent it all, got rid of everything, he thought he was living the high life. And when it was all gone and all of his friends had left, he found himself in a pig pen. That pig pen, in my estimation, is the equivalent to what we refer to as the world. And there are things in the world that we ought not partake of. There were things in the pig pen that he said, man, I'm so hungry, I'd just like to eat this pig food. And the Bible said he came to himself. Some of you need to come to yourself. There needs to be a spiritual awakening, and I'm trying to help you with that this very morning. Your life of sin has stripped away. When the prodigal son came back home, you know where he found Dad? Dad was sitting on the porch, and he was looking at that corner down the lane where his boy had went around the corner. That's the last time he saw him, was right there. And he's sitting on the porch, and he's just waiting for that familiar figure to come back around that corner. And when that boy showed up on that corner, Dad released all of his dignity. His dad was a high-up guy in the city, in the town, in the village. He released all of that. They didn't, as men of honor, they did not run. The Bible said he jerked up his pant legs and down the road he went. And he ran and he fell. Where'd the son just come from? The pig pen. And the father fell on his neck. The son said, man, if I can just go home, maybe Dad will just hire me. Put me to work with the other servants. Just so I have something to eat and some clothes to wear. You know. And that's the way some of you feel this morning. I posted on Facebook this week that when you're hanging by a thread, make sure it's a thread from the hem of His garment. The dad said, the son said, I just want to go home. Maybe Dad will just let me have a job. But Dad said, go get a robe. Put a robe on him. Put a ring back on his finger to say, that's my boy right there. He said, get some shoes. Put them on that boy's feet. He said, go kill a fatted calf. My boy that was lost has been found. He's home. We are going to celebrate the goodness of God in this place. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you right now, everybody was tickled to death about it except the church. Because that older brother represents the church. And he got bent out of joint. He's like, I've been with you all this time. I ain't got to kill nothing. I said, son, you've been with me all along. Everything I've had is yours. You could have done anything. You could have had all of it. But this is your brother. He was lost and he is found. Church, that's why I love you guys so much. When somebody gets saved in this, when somebody gets saved in this place, we celebrate that. We clap our hands. We gather around them. We're encouraged. Oh, glory to God. Somebody got saved. Woo! We're not like, I just don't think they deserve that. I know what you did. I know where you was last night. I drove by and I saw your daggum car parked down there, son. I know where you was. I bet I know what you was up to. So does Jesus. And he said, I forgive you. And I daggum sure better forgive you. I better say, but I'll tell you what, he might have been there last night, but he's here today. Hey. Their life of sin is stripped away. We are clothed with Christ's goodness. And according to Isaiah 53, verses 11 and 12, a rabbi's teaching, a rabbinic teaching says that many is a key word that refers to the chosen people, the elect community of salvation, who will inherit the kingdom of God. The word covenant refers to an arrangement established by one party that cannot be altered by the other party. In other words, God has established a covenant and humans can only accept it or reject it. You can't alter it in any way. Jesus is saying these words at the drinking of the third cup at the Last Supper. The cup that stands for, I will redeem you. There it is again. It is the promise. I will redeem. Jesus makes the promise. He does not back off of His promises. Jesus vows to abstain from wine made before Jesus's vow to abstain from wine was made before the fourth cup, which traditionally was drank after the recitation of these words, I will take you as my people and I will be your God. So Jesus reserves the drinking of this cup for a future restoration. That's the promise that is coming, church. There is coming a day. This scene, this powerful scene, is accented by Jesus taking the third cup and saying, I will redeem you. He shares it with the disciples, and then He pledges that together they will finish this celebration in His kingdom. In His kingdom, when He celebrates with His people, all of God's promises will be fully realized. And there will be a party one day, and you'll be there, and I will be there. And those that will stand firm and say, come hell or high water, I'm going with Him. Get behind me, devil. Jesus is celebrating the wonderful salvation that His crucifixion accomplished, and you'll be there. Sin and suffering will be past. No more cancer, no more auto accidents, no more feeling lonely, no more battling in your room, wherever that is, by yourself. No more suffering, no more sickness, no more tears, and you'll be there. Next to you will be loved ones at whose death you cried. But there will be no reason for crying now. We are there. It'll be a time of rejoicing. A time of realizing that the promise has been fulfilled. As you and I eat and drink, we ought to quietly reflect as we recall Jesus' death and His promise to come again. Church, we need to be grateful for the wonderful gift that God has given to us and being joyful as we meet with Christ and the body of believers. There's coming a day. There's coming a day. It's a promise, church. When all that we've longed for... Oh, I got questions. I got questions that I want answered. Today. But can I just tell you, church, when we get there, we're not going to be concerned about those questions. Because it'll all be answered. Ha ha! Ain't nothing better than this. I don't need to know about that because I am here. And I'm here because of this. Gene? As Gene is getting ready to go, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and I want to pray. Because the only prerequisite to celebrating these elements of communion The only prerequisite to celebrating in the Lord's Supper is that you have Him as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to be a member of Harvest Christian Assembly to celebrate communion. You just have to be a part of the family of God. Heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying. I want for everybody to be able to partake, to participate, to experience the blessing and the promise. If you're here today, let me just tell you right now, Jesus Christ died for you. He shed His blood on an old rugged cross to redeem you, to purchase your salvation. The Bible says that we must believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if we do that, we shall be saved. It's that simple. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life." So it's really this simple. You need to understand today that Jesus Christ loves you. That your life of sin can be stripped away in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in an instant. You can be clothed with Christ's goodness if you'll but just confess Jesus Christ is my Lord, is my Savior, is my Redeemer, is my King. Church, if you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today is your day. If you have never fit, I mean, you've got it. You can't just come to church and expect that you're saved. It doesn't work that way. You've got to confess. You don't have to confess all your sins. That's not what I'm saying. But you have to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. You've never done that. You've never said, "Lord, I confess I'm a sinner and I need Jesus as my Savior." If that's you today and you say, "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus as my Savior. I've never accepted Him. But today, I want..." If that's you, I'm going to ask you to just get brave and slip your hand up this morning, because I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I want to see to it that you never have to say no again. Anybody at all today say, "Preacher, that's me." Maybe you're in this place today and at some point you gave your life to the Lord, but life happened, stuff happened. The enemy came in, he got a hold of you, he led you back down that road that the prodigal went down, and you found yourself in a faraway place, far away from God, far away from the Father. But just like the prodigal, you came to yourself in that bunch of mess, and you found yourself either in this place or watching today by way of the internet, and you've come to the realization, "I need to recommit my life. I need to go back to the Father and make things right with Him." If that's you today, slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all, say, "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need to recommit, rededicate my life to God today." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, I thank you that God, I've said all you've asked me to say. I've done all you've asked me to do, Lord. And from the evidence before me, every one of us in this place are going to make heaven their home. And I'm grateful for that. So Lord, in the next few moments, prepare our hearts to receive the elements of communion. And Lord, to do these things in remembrance of You. Lord, that's why I preached this message today, was so we would remember that it's more than grape juice and a cracker. It's the shed blood of Jesus, the broken body of our Lord, what He went through to redeem me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just come right down the middle here and just let Gene and Eugene serve you? I'm going to ask you to just hold on to the elements till everybody's been served, and then we're going to partake together. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on. Bless them, Lord.
Blood. I am overwhelmed by your affection. greatness of your love. Kindness and the greatness of your love. Now nothing is holding me back from you, Redeemer of my soul. Now nothing can hold me back from you.
I want you to just close your eyes. We always say that we're to do this in remembrance of Him, but we don't ever give time to remember. I want you to just take a moment to just remember all that He's done for you. All that He's done. All that He's purchased for you. This wafer refers to His broken body. It represents the brokenness of the body of Jesus Christ. The stripes that He bore. The beating that He took, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. And by His stripes, you are healed, His Word says. Father, I thank You for this element, this representation of Your broken body. And Lord, I pray right now, as we partake of this together, that, Lord, that healing would sweep across this place. That healing would sweep across this place for Your glory. Lord, that people would be healed, set free, and redeemed, God. Thank You for it, Lord. I thank You, Lord. I thank You for Your broken body. I thank You, God, that because of what You did before the cross, I can be healed. And this element represents that. Lord, bless it as we partake together in Jesus' name. Amen. Close your eyes again. Think about that mess. I want you to just take a moment as you hold the element of this cup in your hands. I want you to realize that the Bible says, though my sin be as scarlet, they shall be washed white as snow. Because of Your shed blood. Lord, I've read this so many times in my life. That You shed Your blood, that Your blood flowed down Calvary. One drop of Your blood will cleanse the most filthy, dirty sinner. It's what you hold in your hand right now, church, is the representation of the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. Your life of sin, as we partake of this today, is represented that your life of sin is washed away. Father, I thank You for this element today. God, I pray as we partake of this, God, that something will happen in the lives of each one in this room or those watching by way of the internet today, that something will click, a light will go on, something will trigger, and that they will walk out of this place knowing, even though I fight the battles day after day after day, I am redeemed. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Father, thank You for it. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. We worship You, Lord. We worship You in this place, Lord. We thank You for the covenant that was established in Your blood. We thank You, Lord, that You have made a way for every one of us. That You've given us a hope and a future. God, that You're preparing a place for us in heaven. And Lord, I thank You for it. I pray, God, that You'd be with each one of us this week as we leave this place. I pray, Lord, that You would watch over Your people. I pray that You'd bring more in. I pray, God, that the finances would be expedited for the building of this new church right out here in our parking lot, God. Because this one's getting full and overflowing, Lord. Bring the increase, oh God. Lord, I pray You continue to bring people and cram them in this place, Lord. God, we'll be faithful to give them the Word of God, to love on Your people, to love on this city for Your glory and for Your honor. God, draw us together, bind us together by Your love. And I thank You for it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for watching today by way of the internet. I pray that this message helped you and I blessed you. Ask you to just come visit us again. Come see us in house. Amen. God bless you and God go with you. Have a great day.